philosophers. All right, I'm Josh.
And I'm Rohan.
Welcome to our first show.
All right. So just before the show, you know, today is Easter, and I know a lot of families gather here in the States for family dinners.
And eating a lot.
Eating a lot of food. And, you know, we started talking about, you know, food and how big food is in today's world. When I think about food, literally that's all we can think about, from the morning we wake up to all of these food shows, to people capturing every single moment of them eating food, Instagram bloggers. I was amazed to learn there's a term called food porn, and it's just mind-boggling in terms of how, you know, we think about food in today's world.
Yeah, I'm guilty of it too. I go through the feed and I'm, oh, that looks so good, it looks so delicious and everything. I think too, a lot of what affects our view of food and how we're constantly thinking about it is that we're bombarded with these huge choices, like grocery stores. I go into a grocery store that I'm unfamiliar with, and the aisles are overwhelming.
Yeah,
the choices that you have. Produce all year round.
Yeah.
You can eat a mango when you're not supposed to eat a mango.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible.
It is incredible, and I think the mango example is great because, you know, when I grew up in India, we had a very strict season because the mangoes were coming from the tree. It was from March to August, and there were no mangoes year round. But here, you're right, I can go in Trader Joe's and get my mangoes in like September. It is crazy. And I love grocery shopping. I mean, to me, like, that is, but you know, it is just like a kid in a candy store.
It is, and it does make you wonder about our relationship with food. Like, I always think about when I was a kid, I didn't have as many choices. It's not until a certain age that you start to figure it out, if you're in a privileged, you know, setting, that you have all these choices in front of you, and so you can say to, you know, your parent or guardian, oh, I don't want that anymore.
Yeah. It's just amazing how, especially the Western society, I think the US and actually pretty much a lot of places, I think it's just everything has become just too much about food, and I think people have really moved away. And I'm to blame myself in terms of how we think about food. And I was looking at that show watching this show on television. I forgot the name of it, but the guy just kept on eating tremendous amount of food with no reason, and that was the thing. And
like all-you-can-eat specials and the big hamburgers,
exactly.
The man-versus-food.
Man-versus-food. And when I saw that, oh my God, this is just the real abomination. I mean, of course, there are people starving and all of that, but just the way we perceive and we value the food is so different than maybe what it should be.
I agree. I think, too, that we see food either like something we're competing for, or in that case, you know, a contest of eating, like a pie eating contest or whatever. But also, I think we see it as a product, you know, and not this type of thing. Like you said, it's a more and more healthy relationship with food.
Yeah, I agree.
Something we consume.
I agree with that, and I think, I mean, it's crazy, and there's a, I mean, I think speaking of food, I was talking to my dad the other day, and he mentioned that somebody did 130 or 120 day fast. I have to confirm the fact, and I first, my reaction was, okay, what does that actually mean? You know, did they eat like in the day, in the night? And he's like, no, it's 120 days straight. That's almost 3 to 4 months in a year not eating. And of course, my mind was just crazy. I don't know what you think about that.
My first thought is, I don't believe it. Yeah. I mean, is it metaphorical? Yeah. There's no way that's like a real thing to happen, because, you know, I certainly, you know, don't know that I thought that humans could make it longer than maybe 6 days.
Yeah.
And I'm not basing that on any empirical evidence other than movies and what I've heard and what I've felt. I mean, you know, you see these wilderness, you know, adventures that people go on, and they don't make it, but that being said, though 130 days is still hard for me to fathom, I mean, I know enough about, you know, different traditions around the world and done some research on fasting, and Guinness Book of World Records has these set examples that people in India have gone 2-3 months just drinking water, no eating at all. It's confirmed. Yeah. It's a fact that they were, you know, monitoring this, so.
Yeah,
and then also I just think, you know, I think fasting in general is something that's been around for a long time, and so I certainly have studied it and about it. In the United States, there's a, you know, long history of fasting being productive for human health.
Yeah.
When you're sick, you know, you always are told when you have a cold, starve the cold. When you have a fever, feed it.
Yeah.
But I never connected starving the cold to fasting.
Yeah,
which is actually comes from Ben Franklin and others in the medical field who were saying fast when you're sick.
Yeah, I've actually never heard that term, but that is really interesting about, you know, not feeding the cold or not feeding the, or starve the fever. That's right. Actually really interesting. And I mean, I have, you know, so many examples now, I think back in terms of just my family and friends, you know, back in India, like who have done a huge number of variations in fasting. And even if I think about in today's world, I mean, there's this whole new phenomenon. And there is a new health fad every day. There is kombucha and there is the gluten-free
Atkins
diet. But
diet,
right? I mean, there's the new fad every day, but there is this new trend of fasting. And you think about it, is it worth it? But there is a tradition and there is a culture. There's people doing it for generations. And there is some benefit to it. And I see videos and blogs every day where people are getting some benefit out of it.
Yeah, intermittent fasting is, you know, athletes.
Do you do
professional,
it?
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Started doing it without knowing that it was that.
Yeah.
You know, I would just go for maybe 8 hours without eating
Right. Because
I only eat 2 meals a day.
Yeah.
But then after a while, I started reading about intermittent fasting. Athletes,
Yeah. Like
Olympic athletes, do it.
Right.
And they are reaping the benefits
really?
In their bodies and in their performance.
Wow.
People also do it mentally for stimulation,
right.
Which I had no idea about this.
Yeah. So, and I think there is another angle to it as well. I think, you know, in the way we see the human body and the endurance, right? I think that's the other aspect I think about when I think about fasting. You know, every time you see, I just saw Free Solo the other day. And I think to me, that is the epitome of endurance when we think about it, right? A guy climbing, you know, the most toughest rock ever without help of any ropes.
Right.
And that is endurance. But I think, you know, also people climbing Mount Everest, doing ultra marathons. But also the fasting, when I think about long-term fasting, that is also almost endurance, because as part of it is physical, it is also very mental.
I haven't done that, you know, long-term of fasting, but even just the 4 days that I've done in the past, it's mental more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel a physical sensation, but it's more mental.
Yeah.
Because it's what I'm programmed to think on, I better eat.
Right. Yeah.
It's this time, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, I think the fasting is, I think what, I think when we talk about the show, right, I think, you know, the relationship with the food and not about food, I think it really comes down to is, like, you know, what is the true meaning and what is the true connection of us with the food. And I think that's kind of what we really want to talk about in this series of show.
Yeah, because what if food becomes something that we look at as a source of life?
Yeah, that is such an interesting thought, and you know, like just the whole culture about like, oh, you need to have multiple meals during the day, or like 3 times a day, and maybe
snacks in between.
Yeah, snacks in between, right? And I'm always eating, like, you know, I'm always like going around the office finding candies to eat because I'm always hungry. But maybe that's how we have been trained, and I think so. That's kind of what I think we want to discover as part of this series of talks, and really talk to people who are expert, right? Whether it's people who have been doing these fasting for years, a culture that has been doing these fasting for generations.
I want to know how they feel, what motivates them to do it, and I want to know what's physically happening to their bodies and mentally, you know, what they're capable of doing when they do these things. Because I do think that endurance in just the way you think about it is amazing.
I mean, I think as we started to look a little bit about, you know, the show, I think that's kind of what fascinated me the most. I think the connection between like the physical, the mental, and the spiritual, and as well as the science part of it. I think that's kind of what we want to learn and share with everybody.
Yeah, I want to know about the 130 days.
Yeah.
I want to know if this is the real thing.
All right.
And I want to know if somebody like me can actually do
it. Maybe the next show is from India.
All right. All right. See you next time.